Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, our help is in the name of Jehovah, who made heaven and earth. Let us pray. Father, may thy grace, mercy, and peace be granted unto us from Jesus Christ our Lord, and through the operation of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's turn in our psalters to Psalter 350. Let's sing all the stanzas of 350. Let us together in our hearts and minds confess our faith as it is recorded in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalter number 203. Let's sing all the stanzas of Psalter 203. Let us join together at the throne of grace now in congregational prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, we come before thee as thy children, reverently and yet confidently. As our Father, we know how much thou dost love us, and we trust that thou dost care for us greatly. Thou art our Father because of Jesus Christ. Through his work on the cross, we have been adopted to be thy children, and the Spirit of thy Son has been sent into our hearts, and so we cry, Abba, Father. Thou art not only our Father, but thou art our Father in heaven. And because thou art in heaven, we know that thou art God, who can do all things. Unlike our earthly fathers, thou art the Father, ruling above us, having wisdom, great wisdom, so that thou dost know every single thing that is best for us. And as our Heavenly Father, thou hast the power, so that thou art able to do what is best for us. Knowing this, we pray to thee, and to thee alone. We hallow thy name, though not because we are adding anything to thy holiness, but because we seek to elevate thee and thy name in our minds. We pray that thou would instill in our hearts a devotion unto thee, order our whole lives that we may honor thee and praise thee with all that we have and all that we are. Set us apart, consecrate us to thy service as we seek to be more consecrated unto thee. We look for thy kingdom with anticipation, knowing that when it is fully come, we will be perfectly consecrated to thee in heaven. But we seek to be involved in this kingdom now. We do not look for our perfect holiness and the full perfection of thy kingdom with complacency now. We want to be active. We want to be involved. And so we pray, Rule us by thy Spirit and thy word so that we may submit ourselves more and more to thee, so that we may be used as thy instruments for the building up of thy church. Help us to renounce our own wills, to surrender ourselves to thy kingdom. We desire that thy will be done, for we know that only thy will is good. Our will is not good if it is not in line with thy will. Help us to obey thee as thy willing servants. Tonight we bring before thee our earthly needs. To be good servants in thy spiritual kingdom, we do not need these earthly things. But as earthly beings with earthly bodies, we need a little in order to survive physically. So we pray, give us our daily bread. No, don't give us too much. Do not give us too little. Give us what we need, just enough, so that we do not value these things, our earthly food and drink, and money, too much. May all these things be used by us in service of thee. Encourage us as thy people. Be with those who may not be able to have children. Comfort them in their lack. We pray for those who desire a mate but may not have one, or may have lost their husband or wife. May thy friendship and fellowship be experienced by them to such a degree that happiness is still theirs in spite of their unfulfilled desires. We pray tonight for families who have lost their loved ones to cancer and to many other illnesses. We pray for the families who struggle with loved ones who now are physically handicapped or mentally ill. May the peace of God rule in their hearts to comfort them and give them the strength to continue in their hard work and care for their loved ones. We pray for the many special needs of this congregation, those that may not be public. May thy Spirit work in their hearts, in our hearts, that we may be able to bring these things before thee, as private as they may be. And may we find comfort through prayer. Forgive us our sins. Wash us in the blood of thy Son. Do not impute unto us our transgressions, and help us to forgive our neighbor out of thankfulness to thee for what thou hast done in forgiving us. Let us never be raised in pride, thinking that our neighbor does not deserve our forgiveness, but help us focus on the great sins for which thou hast forgiven us, and in thankfulness, forgive our neighbor. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil by thy Spirit. Help us to live the antithesis, fighting against the constant attacks of the devil. And use these attacks even for our benefit, building us up in faith thereby. And use the church as thy means to protect us and keep us from falling in the time of temptation. We bring all these things to thee as our Father with great confidence. We know that thou art not only our Father, but thou art King Almighty, and thus we trust thee. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now worship God by the giving of our offerings. The first offering this afternoon is for the Faith Christian School, and the second for our Benevolence Fund. Psalter number 100, Psalter 100, the four stanzas. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. It would be helpful if you could keep your thumbs or keep your Bibles open to Colossians chapter 3, since I will be referring back to this passage quite often during the sermon. But our text this afternoon is from verses 23 through 25. Let's read Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Let us reread the last three verses, since that is the text. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. The church of Colossae was a faithful church of Christ. In chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, Paul praises them. He says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. The church in Colossae was a good example of a faithful church of Christ who loved God and loved His Word. But even though Paul praises them for their godliness and their faithfulness to their Lord Jesus, he does not neglect to exhort them to a continued life of sanctification. In chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, he writes that they increase in good works and in the knowledge of God. And in chapter 3, verse 2, he exhorts them to set their affections on things above and not on the things of this earth. Paul does not neglect to exhort them to increase in holiness. In a sense, he tells them, do not be satisfied with your spiritual state. Strive. Work hard to live more for God and His kingdom. His exhortation to live a life of sanctification becomes more specific in chapter 3. And after giving some more exhortations, some general exhortations to love and unity, he comes up with a very, very astounding exhortation in verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives this command. Whatever you do, do it in the name of Jesus Christ. In the next few verses, after verse 17, Paul applies this exhortation to wives, to husbands, to children, to fathers, to servants, to masters. And in the midst of applying this hard command to the toughest cultural distinction of his day, namely slaves and masters, he sees the need to repeat a very similar exhortation, which is the text. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. We, like the church at Colossae, may be a faithful church of Christ. But we, like that church, must not be satisfied with our spiritual maturity. We must continually strive to increase in that life of sanctification and to heed this command of our text, as hard as it may be. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Consider this text with me this afternoon under the theme, doing everything for the Lord. First, the meaning. Second, the reason. And third, the incentive. The meaning, the reason, and the incentive. Now, before we can understand how we can do all things to the Lord, let's first see who this Lord is. Generally, a Lord is a master, one who has ownership and authority over other persons. In the city of Colossae, there were masters or lords who owned certain portions of land. But not only did they own this land, but they owned slaves or servants to work on their land and to work in their homes. They owned these men and women. And whatever they do was to be for their masters. The masters in verse 22, right before our text, refers to these same lords who owned and ruled these servants. Like verse 22, our text uses the same word, Lord, to refer to our heavenly Lord. Only from the singular with the definite article, the. The Lord, who has ownership and authority over all things, not just over certain portions of land. Specifically, the Lord of our text refers to the ascended Lord Jesus Christ, who now sits at the right hand of the Father. Paul has already described this lordship of Christ in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 17 especially. Paul there speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ who has created all things and thus has authority over all things. The Lord Jesus Christ, owns all of us. He rules over all of us. He's our master, and we are his slaves. But Christ is not just the Lord in heaven over all things, but he is our Lord. That is what we confess. And he's not just our Lord because he has power over all things, but because he has saved us. We once were not slaves who willingly served this Lord Jesus Christ. We had a different master. That master was Satan himself. Ephesians 3, verse 2 says, "Wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." We once served this devilish prince of darkness, Satan himself. We hated the Lord Jesus Christ, who had power over us, and we willingly served the devil. But Christ has saved us from this bondage. When he died on the cross for our sins, he took away this bondage to Satan. He freed us from the shackles that bound us to this evil Lord. And now we willingly confess that Jesus Christ is our master. Is this your confession? Confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord, and I willingly serve him. He has delivered me from the power of Satan, and now I willingly confess that you are my Lord, and I am your slave. And I surrender my whole life to your service. Make this your confession. With this knowledge and with this confession that Christ is our Lord, we must act like servants, doing everything for him. The verb of our text that commands us to do all things for our Lord has the idea of working. The verb refers to one's occupation, and that is clear from the context. It comes right after the verse that calls servants to obey their masters. After telling servants to obey their masters as they work for them, Paul gives the command, "Work for your Lord in heaven." Since it comes right after this verse that talks about servants obeying their masters, we can apply this to our work on the job. All this work must be done as work for our Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it's the work of painting, whether it's the work of farming, whether it's the work of building, whether it's the work of sitting at your desk on the computer, all this work at your job is done as work for the Lord. It is not primarily for your employer. For the Lord. But this command does not just apply to work in the job, but it also applies to work in every sphere of life. Look at verse 17 where we read a very similar exhortation. "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord." That word deed comes from the same root as the verb in our text that calls us to work. And then it comes after that verse, all the specific applications of how we work for the Lord. Whether it's the work of a wife or a husband, whether it's the work of a child or a parent, every work in every sphere of life must be done for your Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it's the chores that you do at home or the schoolwork that you have, whether it's the work of taking care of children, disciplining them, all this work, the work of parenting, the energy that you spend building a godly family, the work you might have to do by taking care of a special needs child, all work is done for your Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. But the text comes even more all-encompassing than we have gotten so far. It says, whatsoever you do, work for the Lord. Everything in our life is supposed to be work for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That means every word, thought, and action. Now, it might be easy to understand that certain acts of sin is not work for your Lord. But what about those things we may call the neutral things in life? What about entertainment? What about sports? What about fishing? What about hunting? What about video games? What about sleeping? Our text says everything must be done for the Lord. Not just your schoolwork, but your extracurricular activities. Not just when you're sitting on your desk at work, but when you're surfing the internet. Not just when you're at the factory working hard, but when you're at home resting. This work. All this must be done as work for your Lord. You do all things for Him. You are not employed part-time. You are not employed full-time. You are employed for your lifetime in service for Him and His kingdom. What a demand. Examine yourselves. Are you doing everything as work for your Lord? Everything? There perhaps a certain sin in your life that you know is clearly not done as work for your Lord Jesus Christ. Root that out of your life. Repent of it. This is in direct disobedience to your Master and in service to Satan himself. Examine yourself. Is there anything in your life that is done as work for yourself and not for your Lord? That will be in disobedience to this text from the Word of God. We must repent from these sins. But then you ask, is that possible? Is that even possible? For a human being like me, do you despair? Servants of God, do not despair. This is not to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful. We cannot, as weak sinners, live in perfect service to our Lord Jesus Christ. But we are sorry for these weaknesses, and we come to the foot of the cross asking for forgiveness for this disservice in our life. Look to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. By the power of God, let us be penitent for this disservice and seek the forgiveness of our Master through His shed blood. And let us strive. Let us strive to root out as much as possible anything that is not done in His service and do more for Him. In our penitence, we ask then, how? How then do we do all things for Him? The text clearly says, heartily. Out of the heart. Literally, it means out of the soul. The soul is the spiritual heart that you as a regenerated child of God has by the Spirit of God. Christ lives in you. When our text calls us to work out of the soul, it calls us to do all things out of this new regenerated heart. For we cannot do anything of ourselves. We cannot serve our Lord if we are not working out of this regenerated heart. So I ask you, are you regenerated? The Spirit of God works in our souls, causing us to do all things for our Lord, but the flesh wars against that heart. We still have that old man of sin that works hard to cause us to do all things for ourselves and for Satan. Our human nature still desires to serve the devil, to be his slaves instead of slaves of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet we fight. We fight with that Spirit of God that works in us, in our hearts that truly live for Him. We must pray. We must pray for that Spirit to work in us. Earnestly pray that our hearts are strengthened so that we more and more work for Him and less work for ourselves. With Christ working in our hearts, we will then walk in obedience to God's commandments. Obedience to Him is how we work for Him in all our lives. That means in every circumstance, in everything that we do, we obey the commands of God. We are in line with those 10 commandments that we read this morning. Whatever we do, we're keeping from sin. But it is more than that. Obedience is more than just obeying His commandments. It is obeying His will for our lives. What is His will for your life as a young person? What is His will for your life as a man on the job or a woman at home? Are you obeying His will for your life? That means diligently and joyfully working for Him in whatever calling He has placed you in. Now this is a great comfort for all of us as God's people. For we know that the Lord Jesus Christ has placed us in whatever calling that we have. This is not just working for a boss who just does not understand, but it is working for Jesus Christ. Whether it is sweeping the floor or changing a diaper, whether it is work in the factory that is back-breaking labor, or work that just does not give you a sense of accomplishment. This is work for King Jesus. Might be the work of looking for a new job because you've lost your old job. It might be the work at a job because you've lost your old job and now you have to work at something that you just don't like. This is royal work. Do it for your Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. Whatever task that may seem menial is not so menial anymore when you understand that this is work for Jesus. Because the Lord is our Master, we work for Him and not for man. No, this does not mean that we do not work to please man. For as we saw in the different applications in this passage, husbands are to please their wives, and wives are to please their husbands. Children are to please their parents. Servants and masters are to please each other. In working hard, we do please man. But the meaning of the text is that we are not primarily working for man. We are first of all working for Christ. Employees, it is not primarily work for your boss. Children, you do not primarily work for your parents. You do not primarily work for your teachers. Our work is first of all for our Lord Jesus Christ. We serve God in all things, and we may please man when we do that, but we first of all work for God. When this calling, when this obeying of man comes at the expense of God's glory, then we must refrain. For example, if it means disobeying God and the keeping of a Sabbath, we must work for God and not for man. We must obey God rather than man, for He is the one who we serve. We're not primarily working for a specific man, and we've already mentioned that. We are especially not working for a man that we know very well. We all know him very well. It's self. Natural man worships himself. He has always tried to place himself above God. He works to gain riches. And he gains riches so that he can entertain himself. This is natural man. When we work to please other men at the expense of God's glory, we are in reality working to please ourselves. When we sin in disobedience to God's commandments, we are really working, doing those things because we stubbornly want to please ourselves. Many of the so-called neutral things in life, like entertainment, when it is done to the overabundance so that we neglect many other things that we ought to do, this is done in self-service. Do not work for yourself. This is one of our greatest temptations as human beings. But think about it. In reality, when you are working for yourselves, you are really working for your old master, Satan himself. Beloved, do not work for yourself. Do not work for man. Work for Jesus Christ. He is your Lord. Knowing that we work for Him, we will also be motivated to work more in His kingdom. We will be involved in the church. We will do less for ourselves and more for God's people. This should motivate us to do the work of building up each other in the church, to do the work of witnessing and evangelism even. Think about it. Who is your master? Jesus Christ. What is His goal? It is the glorifying of God through the gathering of His people and the building of His church. And you are His servants. So work for Him as His servants in the accomplishment of His goal. Work to build up God's people. Be His instrument to gather His people. Work for His church, for those who have been gathered and those who are yet to be gathered. We do all this work for our Lord for one reason. That reason is that we are thankful that He has earned for us a reward of the inheritance. The reward that we will receive is this inheritance of heaven. This reward of heaven is not something that you merit. We are not motivated to serve God in everything that we do because we think that if we work for Him, we will earn heaven. Our text is clear when it calls this reward the reward of the inheritance. An inheritance is not merited. An inheritance is free. An inheritance is a reward given to children freely. Christ has made us the sons and daughters of God so that we can receive this inheritance. Galatians 4 verses 5 through 7 says that God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Jesus Christ took upon himself the form of a man. He suffered on the cross for our sins. And when God looks down on us, he does not see the filthy, dirty sinners that we are. But he sees clean, righteous, perfect people washed in the blood of his Son. And he takes us as his children. You are his daughter. You are his son. And he says, you have an inheritance of heaven because of what my Son has done for you. There is great assurance that we will receive this inheritance of heaven. And the reason is because, as our text says, for we serve the Lord Christ. More literally, for it is the Lord Christ that we serve. Who is this Lord? We've already seen that he is our master. But he is not a slave driver or a cruel master. Under such a master, there is no inheritance. But in fact, under any other master, there is no inheritance. Because servants do not receive inheritances. Only children do. Christ is your master. Your loving master who himself has served you and made you his servants. And not only that, he has made you his children. Because we serve our Lord Jesus Christ, we know that we will receive this inheritance. This knowledge is a knowledge of faith. There is no doubt that this knowledge is true. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt have this inheritance. The reason then for serving the Lord is thankfulness for what he has earned for us. Knowing that we do not deserve this inheritance, we are thankful for this great gift. I beseech you, therefore, beloved, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This is reasonable. You owe it to him. Look at what he has done for you by serving you with his whole life and with his death on the cross. Now show your thankfulness to him by serving him with your whole life. In thankfulness, we do whatever we have to do as work for our Lord. And this thankfulness will cause us to be joyful and diligent in that work. The incentive then for working for our Lord is a promise of heaven and the warning of hell. Those who inherit eternal life inherit it freely without any merit of their own. The children of God receive this wonderful inheritance of heaven by the work of Christ, and thus God works. And thus we work for God in thankfulness for such a great gift. But although this is a free gift, we will be rewarded in heaven. God will say, well done, my good and faithful servant, for the work you have done. And he will reward you, those of you who work hard for him and make that the focus of your life. So work hard for him. and you will be rewarded with a crown of righteousness. But if there is no result of thankful working for this master, if there is no result of a new life of sanctification within you, striving to do all things for your Lord, this proves something. If there is not a desire to depart out of self-service and man-service, if there is no true desire to live your whole life with work as work for Him, yeah, understand that this does prove something. It proves that Jesus is not your master. And more than that, with Christ not as your master, you do not have this inheritance. Repent, wrongdoer, for the text says you will receive for the wrong which you have done. That means hell. Turn from your self-service, for your reward is damnation. We have been called to work for our Lord, but He will not approve of us just because of who we are outwardly. The last phrase of this text says that there is no respect of persons. Literally, this phrase means receiver of faces. God does not receive your face. He does not look at you, young woman, at your features or your form. He does not look at you, young man, for the muscles in your body. He does not look at your background, popularity, status, wealth, race, whatever it may be that you present to man. He looks at the heart. God does not receive us because of our outward belonging to a certain denomination or church. He does not receive us because of truth in our brain. He receives us and rewards us because of what Christ has done for us. And He sees Christ working in us by His Spirit, serving Him out of a heart of gratitude to Him. Unlike the men on this earth, God knows who you are on the inside. He knows why you are here in the church, whether it is to serve Him or it's just to please man. He hates those who may look outwardly like good, middle-class Christians, but are inwardly wrongdoers. Our text says that such workers of iniquity shall receive their reward. And these workers of iniquity are not just those who commit horrible crimes. They are those who look like sheep, but are inwardly goats. And God says, "Depart from me. I never knew you." Sheepfold of the shepherd, may the Spirit of Christ dwell in your hearts so that from Him there flows a genuine desire to serve God with your whole life. Love that Savior who has done what He did on the cross for you. And show your thankfulness to Him by doing more for Him and less for man and yourself. Examine your lives and root out all that is done in self-service. Do not be satisfied with your spiritual state. You can always, always serve God more and serve Him and His kingdom. Young people, children, people of God, let the Word of God inspire you. And let Christ's love be truly cherished in your heart. Then serving Him will become more natural. then doing all things in your life for Him will be less of a demand and more of a delight. May God grant us such a humility to heed this calling from the Word of God. Amen. Father, we look forward to the second coming of Thy Son with eagerness, but as we do not want to be in inactivity. So while we wait, give us the energy, the zeal, the grace, the power, the mercy, and whatever else we need to serve Thee, to glorify Thy name here on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalter number 311. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me? How shall my soul by grace restored give worthy thanks, O Lord, to Thee? Let us sing with thankfulness. And as we sing, let us think of how we might with gratitude serve God more with our lives. All five stanzas, 311. Let us pray. We pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, Thy fatherly love, and the communion of Thy Holy Spirit abide with us all. Amen.